Good morning, Active Church. How you doing today? You good? Hey, we are so excited that you're here, and we're just glad that, man, we get to worship together. And today's a special day because it's Mother's Day. So do me a favor. Can we give all the moms in here a big round of applause right now? We love you, Mom. We are so excited for what God is doing, and honestly, I'm excited that you're here. You made this a priority. You got out of bed. For some, you had to get the kids ready, and you got them, and maybe they brushed their teeth, and maybe they didn't, but as long as they had all their clothes on, the right shoes, even if they didn't have the right pair of shoes, it was the opposite pair of shoes, you still got them here to Active Kids, and we're so honored that you would choose to spend your Sunday, Mother's Day, here at Active Church. And we have some guests on platform with me today, which I'll share about that in a moment, and we're in for a treat today. But what you just saw was a video of Serve Day, and it's something we do annually as a church. We serve every single day, really. We have life groups meeting all over the city. We have ministries and homeless outreaches. We have all sorts of cool things, but this is the time of year coming up this summer, July 13th. It's a Saturday. We're gonna deploy the troops all over San Luis Obispo to show and to share the love of Jesus in a very practical way by serving our city. Because how many of you guys love San Luis Obispo and the Central Coast? Can I get an amen? And I know that before we tell people about Jesus, we want to show them Jesus. And I want to have a church. I believe the Active Church is a church that demonstrates the love of God in practical ways. And so what we want to do is we want to get everyone together. So mark your calendars for Saturday, July 13th, and we're going to serve our city together. I know it's about 8 weeks away, but trust me, it'll be here before you know it. And it's going to be an awesome opportunity to love our city. And one of the things I think is amazing about the local church is that we have an opportunity to really strengthen each other by serving each other. And I don't know about you, but when I get on mission serving other people, it does something to my soul. It takes my focus off of me and it puts it onto God and other people. And what happens is I actually start operating in the way that God wants me to operate when I get my focus on Him and other people. It's amazing what God will do when you start serving other people. That's why we have the serve team here. That's why everything you see here is set up, torn down. Active Kids, our production team, it's all done through our serve team, because when you connect to serving, you connect to life and you connect to relationship. So our heart is that we be a church that makes a difference in our community. So mark your calendars for that. Super excited for that. Also, today is Growth Track Step 2. If you have never ever been to Growth Track, here's what it is. We get to hang out. It's an hour long. It starts at 12:30 today. And we have a lunch prepared for you. We have free childcare. We have some stuff that we're going to go over. But really, if you're wanting to find out more about the vision of Active Church, how you could be a part of it, maybe kind of why we do what we do, you want to learn about our church, hang out, we would love to host you today at 12:30. If you don't have any plans, please make plans to come. We meet at the library, at the community room where our Active Kids are, and we have it all set up for you. So you just show up and hang out with us, and you can also stop at the Next Step Center right outside to the right to get signed up so we know how much food to buy. But if you just want to show up, well, there'll be plenty of food. Well, hey, you're probably wondering what this is all about. Today, you are in for a treat because we have five moms here. They're going to share each for 5 minutes on what God's been just showing them in their lives. And what I want you guys to do, we're going to have 5 minutes on the clock, and you're going to see a timer. But really, what the goal is, isn't to boom off the stage or hear a big buzzer. It's not that. We believe that, man, God wants to do something incredible when we lean in and we expect to hear from God. And so today what's going to happen is you're going to be blessed. I'm really excited because one of these gals is my wife up here, Stacy. Right, wave at everyone, Stace. I want to tell you something. Never say never. Because Stacy once said, I'll never get up on that platform and talk. And here we are today. So before we get in, I got to give some ground rules real quick, okay? They're going to share for 5 minutes. And then they're going to go on to the next one. It's going to go 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, and so on. And then I'm going to close it up. But here's what I want to share with you. Imagine you were up here. And imagine you were like kind of nervous because you don't, you know, talking in front of people kind of can be nervous. I want us to shout down these gals. I want us to say, amen, that's good. I want you guys to clap when it's time to clap. I want you guys to cheer when that's a good point. I want to hear some amen, sister. Can we practice real quick? Can I get an amen? You can talk back. You can say, that's good. Or come on, as Richard likes to say. Say it again. Take your time. Talk back to these girls because what it does is it breaks the ice and it really makes us feel like, man, you guys are engaged. So can we practice real quick? After each person is done speaking, we're gonna cheer them down. We're going to shout them down and we're going to roar real loud. So let's practice real quick. Okay, let's act like Stacy just got done and she made her final point. All right, give it up for Stacy. Well, that was really good. That was really good. So do that for everybody. Well, finally, I want to just go ahead and pray us into this time. I know some of us are coming in with heavy hearts this morning, just maybe stress or anxiety has got you down. I want you to be lifted up by this service. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us. You love us on our good days and our bad days. You love us when we're doing everything right, and you love us when, well, we don't want to talk about it. Because it's by grace we've been saved, through faith. Not our own good deeds, not our ability to memorize scripture, although that's good, but you love us because your word says it, we love you because you first loved us. You demonstrated your love for us on the cross, and you demonstrated that you could be trusted, that you are powerful when you rose again on the third day. And that's not just for Easter Sunday, that's for every single day of the year. God, we love you. We ask that you would breathe on this service, God, and that people would be inspired, God, by what you're going to speak through each of these communicators. I'm so excited, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. All right, guys, give it up for our first communicator, Tiffany Encinas. Come on.
Thank you, Pastor Adam. So I want to ask you a question. Are you free? Like, really free? Because even though I know that Jesus has set me free, oftentimes I just don't feel free. Can anybody relate? Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Three people. All right. So, you know, before we accepted Christ, we were in a prison cell and in chains and we were dead in our sins. And there was an inscription over our heads that said, condemned, guilty. But then, everyone say, but then. But then Jesus shows up and he pays the penalty of sin. And now a new inscription has been written over our heads. And it says, forgiven, redeemed, free. Ephesians 2 talks about this in the Message version. I don't know if it's going to come up, but it says this. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. Scrolling down, but God, immense in his mercy, and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. Hallelujah. But here's the thing, we're still in a prison cell. And we're in that prison and we're praising God, like, thank you, God, for your forgiveness. But God is looking at us like, but did you check the door to the prison cell? Because my blood was shed for more than forgiveness. The forgiveness is just the path through which he can create an escape for us. So we need to get up and we need to walk out that door. The door is open. But here's the thing. Some of us are still in that prison cell. And whether it's the prison of our minds, the prison of our circumstances, and we never experience the freedom that God has given us. And Jesus, you know, he is waiting on the other side. He is beckoning us. He is ready to do battle with us. But I'm not going to lie. There's an enemy waiting for us on the other side as well. Because anytime you cross over, you're going to get conflict. Anytime you go from old thinking, from old behaviors, old habits, from death to life, expect resistance. The devil is not going to let you go easily. I think there's a misconception when we first get saved that life should be easier now and that our addiction should go away. And that's just not what we see in Scripture, and it's not what we see in life. But be bold. Take courage. And know that we serve a God who says he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. So get up. You know, I think of when me and my husband were first teaching our kids how to first get up, you know, and we're encouraging them. They're like, come on, you can do this. There's a whole world out there. And they are totally content sitting in their nasty little poopy diapers. And I'm like, you need to get up because you are starting to stink. So get up. Put on God's armor like Adam was talking about last week. And let's fight. Freedom never came without a fight. And honestly, most of my armor is just in protection against my own kids. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, we also need to strip off this dead weight that we're carrying around. And what is this weight that I'm talking about? I'm not talking about our kids. Those are good weights. Those are weights that make us stronger. The weights I'm talking about in Hebrews 12, verse 1, in the NIV or NLT version, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Amen. Yeah. So, God's word is powerful, right? So these weights are strongholds, such as, you know, sexual immorality or unhealthy relationships. For me personally, it's letting myself get easily distracted with things that don't seem so sinful in nature, like social media, binge watching The Punisher. That's borderline. And you know, even just web surfing. You know, like there was a funny meme my friend sent me. It said, "I got on Pinterest for a recipe, and 2 hours later, I'm convinced 9/11 was an inside job." So it's like, you know, like distractions, precious time wasted. Listen, if the devil can keep you distracted, he can keep you ineffective. So for me, another stronghold is fear and comparison. Come on, moms, I know I'm not the only one that deals with this. Fear is debilitating, let me tell you. So how do we deal with strongholds? We demolish them. We don't work around them. We don't cope with them. We don't live with them. We demolish them through God's word and through the power of confession. Someone once said, what is not revealed cannot be healed. So in my closing, in my last 17 seconds, if you feel stuck, if you feel like things are pulling you down, get into a life group, confess your sins to one another, draw near to God. James 4:9 says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And remember John 8:36, who the Son has set free is free indeed. Yeah. I am a child of God.
Have you ever noticed that the hardest seasons in life usually end up being the most fruitful? When I was a kid, I dreamed about being a mom. This started at a young age, playing with baby dolls, babysitting. As I grew older, I got my first job working in a preschool. I absolutely love babies. I couldn't wait to be a mom. So when Adam and I got married and discovered that we were having our first baby, we were beyond excited. But nobody told me that pregnancy is hard, okay? I had extreme exhaustion, and all I wanted to do was sleep all day. I was hormonal and would cry for no reason. I had morning sickness, but not just morning sickness that lasted in the morning. I had a type of morning sickness that would last all day long. And to top it off, I could have literally lived off of chocolate milk and Jack in the Box egg rolls. I was miserable. I hated being pregnant. It was hard. Maybe you can relate. Maybe it's that dream job that you prayed for and finally got, but didn't know how hard it was actually going to be. But now you look back and you realize how much you've grown. Yeah. Or maybe it's that you couldn't wait to turn 18 to get out of mom and dad's house, and then you realize adulting is hard. But now you can look back and you can laugh because you're not that same person. Or maybe it's that marriage that you prayed and asked God for and you couldn't wait to put a ring on it. But then you realized marriage is hard. But it was in that season that you learned how to be a spouse. You see, the seasons in life that are the most fun aren't always the most fruitful. And the seasons in life that are the hardest usually end up being the most fruitful. But why is that? Why can't we just have our cake and eat it too? Let me tell you the story about John 15. You may be familiar with it. It's a story about a gardener. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts down every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that we will be even more fruitful. I'm here to tell you today that some seasons in life will cut you down, but don't lose hope. The chances are you are being pruned. I want to encourage you today, if you are in a pruning season and you feel cut down to a stump, don't lose hope. You see, that's where we miss it. We think because God says he's going to do something in us that it's going to be easy, but it's not. Think about it. Nothing that Jesus did from the moment he entered the womb was easy. For example, his mom, Mary, she was 16 and pregnant and claimed to be a virgin. Not an easy way to enter the world when you realize that Joseph is not the father. Then he was born in a stable. He's the son of God. Couldn't they found a Holiday Inn? And not only that, but when Jesus was on earth, he would stand up for people who would eventually turn their backs on him when they needed him most. It has to be hard. If it wasn't hard, you would trust yourself. And yourself is not an adequate support system. For the glory of God, he has to allow some things into your life so that you can see with God all things are possible. What if this week you stopped relying on the fruit and you started looking at the roots? You see, it's in the roots. The roots is the part of the tree that you can't see, but that is where the action happens. So as long as you stay rooted, you have the promise of a new beginning. God is doing a hidden work in you, and he is up to something. Maybe that's what the problem is in this season. Maybe God isn't punishing you, but he is preparing you. Maybe he's allowed you to be cut down for a bounce back. You see, as a believer, you have the ability to bounce back. Maybe that's why they put Jesus in a borrowed grave, is so he could show the world that you can put me down, but I'm going to bounce back. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you have a bounce back spirit? I can bounce back. Yeah. I have hope that bounces back. Yeah. I can bounce back from the bottom. As a matter of fact, the harder the bounce, the harder I bounce back. God, let me be cut down for a season, but I am bouncing back. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope for your marriages. Don't lose hope for your children. Don't lose hope for your health. You have to have hope when you're down to nothing because God is up to something.
So the biggest blessing that I received from my mother was to persevere and give God full control over your life. See, a couple years ago, my husband and I were happily married, celebrating our 6-year anniversary, expecting our second child. Things were going great. At that time, we were learning how to trust God and give him full control, and it was good. We hadn't really experienced anything big in our lives. But you see, at that time also, God was bringing us out of this church that we called our home for our whole life and into this new journey. And we were so excited to see where he was going to lead us. Just as soon as we were going to take that leap of faith, we had no idea of a hidden sin that we were packing up to bring along in that journey. And God was like, no, that's not the plan for you. And he exposed that sin in the most tender and graceful way, the way that he is. And it was a deeply sin that was rooted in my marriage. You see, for long, I created this marriage center around my life because I was insecure about how people viewed me, that I wanted it to seem perfect from the outside, but inside I was crumbling. And God was like, no, you need to do this in my strength. And so you can only imagine when that happened, I was crumbled. I was felt like my whole world was just falling apart. And I couldn't understand why God would take us out of something only to bring us into brokenness and to face it alone. So I was consumed in my pain. In John 16:33, God says, I told you these things so that you can have peace in me. In this world, you will have trouble, but be brave because I have defeated the world. Yeah. He gave us hope. He said, find that hope in me, not in your circumstance, because I have defeated the hope of the world. Why should we not trust that one who overcame the world? He wants us to find peace in him and not in our circumstance. He wants us to trust beyond how we feel that he is working this for our good. I believe God allows us to go through trials in life, not to hurt us, not to break us down, but to expose the sin and the things that are hidden deep in our heart that we're holding on to, that are taking the place of him in our life. And I feel that for me, he began to unravel that in a beautiful way. It was my lack of trust in him. I created this marriage to be my safe place and not Jesus. I created this life to find purpose in and not Jesus. And because of that, I was living in my own wall protection that also kept me from receiving that freedom that God is so willingly ready to give us. Yeah. See, in Romans 8:18, he says, the sufferings we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. You see, there's a freedom that we have to get to, but in order to get to that freedom, we have to come to a place of humility. And that means we can't look at the world through the eyes of a victim. We can't look at it and withhold forgiveness from the people that have hurt us. That is not our burden to carry. So in that state of brokenness, we can only do that with the Holy Spirit inside of us. And you have to fall at the feet of Jesus because God wants you to come humbly to him and remember that he has forgiven you just as he has forgiven them. So you have to let go of the past. You have to let go of your fears. You have to let go of your insecurities. And you have to let go of that person or whatever situation you find yourself that is holding you down. And relinquish that control and give it to God. And that is true freedom. Freedom from your past. Freedom from your hurts. Freedom from anything that the enemy can try to get you. Because now you're not living for yourself. You're living for God. In Ephesians 3:20-21, it says, with God's power working in us, God can do much more than anything we can ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. Guys, that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living within us. It is in us. So we can face anything that comes through. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional here. But anything that we face in life, we can face that with courage and with strength and with power. Because it's not us, it is God. He's perfect in love. And his perfect love casts all fear. So we can do it boldly with courage and unafraid. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And no weapon that is formed against us will prosper.
Well, how many people here know that transitions and new seasons can be really challenging? Well, I'm going to speak on a new season, a new transition that all parents go through, our children starting kindergarten. So about 2 years ago, my little girl, Giovanna, was starting kindergarten. And we had already gotten everything ready. We went back to school shopping. We went clothes shopping, which is fun for your daughter, because you can kind of live through her when you want to get stuff. We'd been pumping her up for about 6 months, and we were all ready to go. Well, it turns out that Giovanna hated school. She absolutely hated school. There was tears on the way out the door. There was tears during school time. There was tears on the way back through the door. And it was absolutely breaking our hearts. I spoke with my husband, Ross, and spoke with my parents, got some good counsel from them, went and spoke with Giovanna, and we decided to pull her out of school and to homeschool her. Now, this was an absolute whirlwind to me. I have never been homeschooled. I had no desire to be homeschooled. I didn't even know where to go to begin learning how to homeschool your child. But I did know that through prayer and confirmation and speaking with my parents, that this was the route that God had for us. So we began our homeschool journey, and I would often find myself really struggling. I had never wanted this. I had never wanted to homeschool my children. I found myself thinking about the past plans that I already kind of had when Giovanna was going to be in school, which would be more free time, a cleaner house a little longer, my errands could be quicker, and I would find myself just pondering of these thoughts. And I was often finding myself envious of other moms dropping their children off. I was finding myself unhappy. And it was about this time that I got invited to a homeschool conference, a local homeschool conference with about 20 other moms. So I decided to attend the conference, and it was at this retreat that God spoke so clear to me. It's probably the clearest that God's spoken to me in a very long time. The retreat was called Richly Rooted, Planting Deep Roots Within Our Children. And during one of these sessions, I kept hearing God repeat this sentence over and over to me. Something has to die for something new to grow. Something has to die for something new to grow. Then I heard God tell me, go read Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. So I made a mental note and got back in my car and after the session and pulled out my Bible. And I turned to Isaiah 43, and this is what it says. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive? And do you not know it? And will you not give heed to it? For I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And I began crying, and I knew what God had just told me. And what God had said to me was, your past thinking, your past desires, your past thoughts are done. That is dead. Do not dwell on the former things that I kept thinking about in my new season. But what he was telling me was a new thing was rising. A new thing was springing forth from the ground. And that new thing that kept coming forth was this new season I was in, which was homeschooling. And then I read the part again of the verse that says, do you not give heed to it? And I felt so convicted and empowered all at the same time. Would I really not submit to what God had me in? Would I really question God's decision to put me in a season that he knows is best for me? Why would I not follow what God had me in? Because let me tell you, right after God says, do you not give heed to it? He then promises he will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And I truly felt an anointing and a peace and an inner change come in me because God had just said to me, I will be with you in this season. I will strengthen you for this season. I will anoint you for this season. I will empower you for this season. And I will bring you joy in this season. And I can stand and tell you that I'm 2 years into my homeschooling season, and I've truly never been happier because God has kept his promise to me. So remember that new seasons bring new challenges, they bring new trials, they bring new testings. But if you grab onto the promise that God has for us, that he'll equip you in this season that you're called, you will not only get through, you'll thrive and you'll flourish. Yes. To my fellow mothers who may be in a challenging season, challenging time, be encouraged. Allow God to equip you in this season that you're in. And your sacrifice and your calling and the daily dying to yourself is not in vain. that God is helping you breathe life and develop your children and shape their futures. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. This is an honor. 2 years ago, I was a broke single mom living with my parents. But the financially broke part was not the significant one. It was the internal brokenness that I faced every single day. I was lost. I had grown up as a pastor's kid, but I still didn't really know who God was. And I definitely didn't know who I was. So in 2018, I took a week off of work to confront these issues. And in less than a week, God completely changed my life. And in that process, he established something in me that I'd been searching for my whole life, and that was identity. So my story is not an uncommon one. In fact, women have been struggling with this same issue since the beginning of time. In Genesis, we find Eve and the serpent discussing the forbidden fruit. And we can pinpoint this exact moment when Satan started using doubt against God's children. In Genesis 3:5, the serpent says, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So first, Satan caused Eve to doubt God's word. And because of this, she began to doubt herself. So let's go to what happens after Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis 3:9 through 11. "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?'" I want to highlight the first part of this question from my text today. Who told you? Eve was the perfect woman. She should have known that she was already like God. But even perfect Eve felt inadequate. So what do? When the enemy, often in the form of our own thoughts, makes us feel like we don't measure up. Jesus set a perfect example for us to follow when he went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days. We find Satan appearing to him, pulling out the same weapon he used on Eve, questioning the identity of God. But if there was a person that knew who he was, it was the Savior of the world. So Satan said, "If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And we can see what Jesus said to him in Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" The word of God is the weapon that we use to fight against doubt. When we trust in the word of God, we can trust what he has to say about us. But if we can go back to when Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't ask them why. He didn't tell them, "Shame on you." We never want our children to be ashamed. He asked them, "Who told you?" And if I can bring it to where you're at, there's a lie being fed to us that we're not enough and we never will be. And what I want to ask you today is, who told you? When we look back at what Jesus responded to his tempter, we know opening up the Bible is how we fight. So when you don't know who you are, when the world wants to tell you who you should be, when the enemy points out what you're not, let his word be the measure for what is true in your life, against your own thoughts. The enemy wants nothing more than to have the body of Christ be so caught up in what we're not, distracted by our deficiencies, that we don't see who we are. God established your identity as his child when he went to the cross. God determined your value when he laid down his life for you. Do not let the standards of success that this world has set become a measuring stick for your life. Yeah. Our purpose is to be a light in this dark world, not to compete with it. Yeah. So when you face feelings of inadequacy, I want you to look in his word and let his words form your identity. Because his words are the ones that are true. God bless you.
That was so awesome. We want to just right now, I want to go ahead and make some noise for all of our communicators. Come on, church, put your hands together. Thank you guys so much. Awesome. Keep it going. Come on.